Matthew 1, 18 through 25. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. The word of the Lord. What's in a name? What's in a name? For given names, our culture has a variety of ways of deciding on what a person is to be called. And an ancient convention is to name people after relatives and ancestors. There are some who, well, they find the name in a book. They pick one they like, and then they give it to their child. And others name their children after significant people in their lives in a way to honor them and to memorialize them in their family. And there are so many ways out there for people to come up with a name and to gift it to their child. And then, of course, there is that poor fellow that Johnny Cash sang about. That man named Sue. Now, I love that song. Now, in a last name, in a family name, there lies the history of a family, from whom and whence we come. In it passes the honor of the family, carried on generation after generation. And I'm sure for each and every one of you who are here today, there is a history and there is a reason for your name. Maybe you know the story behind it, maybe you don't. Nevertheless, regardless of the origins of your name, it is especially yours. All that you are, who you are, your very essence is signified in your name. Now, unfortunately, family histories are spotted, such as the reality of living in a fallen world. Sure, there are notable characters in most families, but then there are those that the family would rather forget. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Those black sheep of the family, marring the family's good name. And as individuals, we are kind of like that. We are marred due to sin. And while we might try to ignore or even deny our sin, the sin remains. And this puts us in a bad way. As Romans 6:23 tells us, the wages of sin is death. And on our own, there's truly no escaping this fate. We are in desperate need of a Savior, someone to redeem us from the punishment, the eternal death and misery in hell that we truly deserve. And as we are in trouble with God, it is not just any Savior who can accomplish this feat. It is only God Himself who can save us. Hence the second part of Romans 6:23. But the free gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. And so we have the whole thrust behind the Christmas event. Let's look again at verses 20 and 21. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Now, how seriously does God take his name? Well, the third commandment, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. The Lord takes his name very, very seriously. So it makes perfect sense that he would ensure that the Son was given the name that perfectly fit him. In other words, God ensured that the very being of his Son would be accurately signified in his name. And so Joseph, he received orders from the angel, a messenger straight from God, to name the son to be born Jesus. So, why the particular name Jesus? Well, the name Jesus is the Greek form of the name Yeshua or Joshua. It was a common name among the Jews. It goes back, and we see in Numbers 13:16 with the historic figure who would be renamed by Moses to be Joshua, a man who would lead the people of Israel into the promised land. And we see that story in the book of Joshua, which we are studying in the evening worship service. The name Yeshua, the name Joshua, means Yahweh saves. The Lord saves. Hence, the angel gave a very specific reason for the Son to be named Jesus, stating, for he will save his people from their sins. And this baby to be born would be one who would redeem his people. But then right on the heels of this pronouncement by the angel, Matthew mentions another name for the Son in verses 22 and 23. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel. Now, seeing that the son had been given the name Jesus, does it seem strange that almost immediately the scriptures say that he will be called Emmanuel? Well, there's no contradiction here, really. Matthew was being very deliberate in his communication. He's not saying that Emmanuel was Jesus' middle name or some such. The name Emmanuel means God with us. It is a statement as to the deity of the child that was born to the virgin. And it is a statement that Jesus was a fulfillment of the prophecy from Isaiah 7:14. He was the promised one. Essentially, Emmanuel gives substance to our understanding of the name Jesus. It is an affirmation that Jesus was not just bearing a name that pointed to a higher reality. He was that reality in the flesh. He was and is Yahweh with us, the one who would save his people. The child was God himself in the flesh. So, is this title, God with us, only a reference to Jesus' presence upon the earth for those 33 years after his birth and before his crucifixion? Certainly not. Matthew makes a very deliberate point on this to ensure that the readers of his gospel do not miss this fact. He emphasized that Jesus was Emmanuel, God with us, in chapter 1 at Jesus' birth. And then he revisited this very theme in the very last sentence of his gospel in 28:20. Jesus said, and behold, I am with you always to the ends of the age. And this is the promise of the Lord. Jesus, Emmanuel, the Christ, The Messiah, the Son of David, is with His people right here and right now and at all times. So if He is with His people, who are these people? The ones that He came to save. Well, the Scriptures answer this question. For Jesus was a Jew. His parents were Jews, and His genealogy had just been given there in the first part of Matthew 1, as we see. Jesus was a descendant of Abraham and David, and the people of Israel are His people. Indeed, His people are the heirs to the covenant promises of Abraham. But the people of Israel are not just ethnic Jews. And the Scripture's teachings on this are very clear. True Israel, the ones whom Jesus came to save, consist of both ethnic Jews and Gentiles. Jesus came to save, but He would be rejected by vast numbers of Jews, while many would also trust in Him for salvation. So not all ethnic Jews are true Israel. Romans 9:6. For not all those are Israel who are from Israel. And the gospel was preached to the Jews first, and then to the Gentiles, which is a repeated theme in the New Testament. For example, in Acts 13:46, after the Jews rejected the gospel at Pisidian Antioch, says this, Paul and Barnabas spoke out boldly, saying, it was necessary that the word of God be spoken first to you. Since you thrust it aside and judge yourselves unworthy of eternal life, behold, we are turning to the Gentiles. Among the Gentiles, the gospel flourished. Many trusted in Jesus for salvation, and so were saved. So in Galatians 3, verse 28 and 29, Paul says this concerning both Jews and Gentiles who believe in Jesus. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is no male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. God came to save His people. And His people are not just limited to ethnic Jews or Gentiles of any race in particular. All Christians make up true Israel. So, how did the Son, who was born that first Christmas, how did He accomplish His mission to save His people from their sins? The Lord Himself gives a summary of His mission in Mark 10:45, that He came to give His life as a ransom for many. And Jesus was speaking of the death that He must die on the cross. He knew that His death was an absolute necessary sacrifice to save His people. Well, how so? Now, the key term here is ransom, which means to pay a price in order to redeem prisoners of war, captives, slaves, or criminals. And Christ equates the giving of His life as the necessary price for securing the freedom of those who are in bondage. And the Apostle Paul tells us in Romans 3:23, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Hence, Romans 6 tells us the status of all people, both Jew and Gentile, as being slaves, slaves to sin because of our sin. And as slaves to sin, we are all under the law, and hence are sinners deserving God's just wrath. But then in Romans 3:24, Paul says that justification comes by God's grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Jesus Christ, who was put forward as a propitiation by His blood to be received by faith. The Lord Jesus was put forward by God as a propitiation, an atoning sacrifice, in order to appease the wrath of God. And His sacrifice, the perfect Lamb of God, was acceptable to God. And so Ephesians 1:7, in Him, meaning Christ, we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace. 2 Corinthians 5:21, God made Him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God. Christ's blood was the purchase price for us to be forgiven for our sins and set free from our prisoner status on death row. We were bought with a price, and so we were made righteous. Our sins washed away by the blood of the Lamb. Now, how do we receive this gift of redemption, the salvation from our sins? We receive it through faith, and only through faith, as written in Romans 3:25. We trust in God, believe in Him, and we are then redeemed. The ransom is paid. We are forever set free from all of our sins, past, present, and future, and we are forgiven. And so we, as His people, follow Him in faith and obedience. It is in the name of Jesus that all people who believe in Him for salvation will be saved. There is no other. Yet, there are those who confuse this whole issue. Some claim that Jesus saves, but deny the necessity of faith in Christ. They even say that some can be saved who deny the name of Jesus. Consider the Roman Catholic Church Commission for Religious Relations with the Jews. And they published a document called The Gifts and the Calling of God are Irrevocable, Romans 11:29 being their key verse. Well, this document addresses the salvation of the Jews. And consider these quotes from the document. From the Christian confession that there can be only one path to salvation, however, it does not in any way follow that the Jews are excluded from God's salvation because they do not believe in Jesus Christ as the Messiah of Israel and the Son of God. That the Jews are participants in God's salvation is theologically unquestionable. But how that can be possible without confessing Christ explicitly is and remains an unfathomable divine mystery. Here we confront the mystery of God's work, which is not a matter of missionary efforts to convert Jews, but rather the expectation that the Lord will bring about the hour when we will be united. Well, did you get that? I mean, they basically say that there is no need to evangelize the Jews because God will save them anyway. Again, quote, it does not in any way follow that the Jews are excluded from God's salvation because they do not believe in Jesus Christ as the Messiah of Israel and the Son of God. Now, as Reformed Presbyterian Protestants, we really don't have issues with the Roman Catholic Church limiting their efforts of converting people to Catholicism. However, there are many who lack discernment, who are not Roman Catholics, and who are swayed by pronouncements of the Roman Catholic Church, even when such pronouncements are completely contrary to the teaching of Scripture. The gospel narrative of the birth of Jesus exposes these false teachings of the Roman Catholic Church and their statements concerning the Jews and any other statement like it by anyone else. God the Father sent the Son, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, who is named Jesus, is God with us, and is the Christ, the Messiah. And Jesus is the one and only one who saves His people. He said it himself in John 3:17-18. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. Jesus died on the cross so that we, whether we're Jew or Gentile, might be saved. Mark 10:45, 1 Corinthians 15:3. And we receive that salvation for our sins through faith. Ephesians 2:8. And as Peter proclaimed before the Jewish leaders in Acts 4:13, there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. And Jesus was born that Christmas so long ago. And you know, it wasn't Christmas back then, but he was born. And, he was born to save his people. And his people are all of those who trust in him for salvation. Whether Jew or Gentile, those who make up the true Israel, the true heirs of the covenant promise of Abraham. He is our Redeemer and our Lord, and he is with us now and always. So what does it mean? What does this mean for us this Christmas season? As we celebrate Christmas tomorrow, we must make sure that presents or events and traditions do not drive from our minds the very reason for which we celebrate. And we must not celebrate in futility. Now, how can you celebrate in futility? Well, it's simple, and many do. Without Jesus, celebrating Christmas is a pointless, hopeless, vain endeavor. And if you do this, you may get the best gifts, have all your family around, eat wonderful food, and have a grand old time. But that's the closest you'll ever get to heaven. For if Jesus is not your Lord and Savior, you are still lost in your sins, still in darkness, and still in need of salvation. Jesus came to save his people. Trust in him for salvation, repentance of your sins, and follow him. Trust in him. Trust in Jesus. He will save you. His redemption is sure. And tell others the good news about Jesus. Spread the word. No matter what their ethnic background might be, Christmas really is a prime opportunity for sharing the faith. We've got bridges all over the place to be able to say, hey, you know, look at that manger scene. Let me tell you about Jesus. They're out there. What a great opportunity for us for sharing the faith. And in this dark world, with all its chaos, its sins, and its consequences for sin, Jesus is our only hope. Brothers and sisters, whatever may come, whatever it is you're going through, whatever your struggle may be, as difficult as it is, if you are one of his, he is with you, and he will never, ever, ever forsake you. Fellowship with him in love, for eternal life in Christ is yours. What's in a name? The essence of who we are is signified by our name. If you are a Christian, then the name of the Son has impacted you in an irrevocable way. Jesus' name means Yahweh saves. And as we are saved by Jesus, our names have taken on the essence of one who is saved by Yahweh, Emmanuel, And so our names are hence written in the book of life. This Christmas, remember the name of Christ, whom this holiday is all about. Worship Him in joy and in gladness. And Jesus saves His people. And He is always with us. So we must hope in Him. Let us pray. Gracious Lord, as we contemplate the lengths that You went to save Your people, to save Your people from our sins, Lord, we just praise Your name. We praise the name of Jesus, our Lord and our Savior. And Lord, if there's anyone here today who doesn't know You as Lord and Savior, I pray, Lord, You would take their hard heart and soften it before You so that they might believe and have life. Lord, use us as Your people to take the good news of the birth of Christ, our Savior, to the world. Provide us opportunities to share with people the joy that we have. And as we celebrate Christmas as a family of believers, Lord, may Your blessing be upon us and Your joy. And it's in Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen.